We like put all of our eggs into one basket. Like, this person's going to be the one that saves me and fixes me. And what happens when they can't live up to that ideal? Because no one can live up to that ideal, really. And you're left feeling kind of stranded or abandoned. Whereas a group, like a 12-step program or any kind of support group around, you have that kind of community. If one person drops out, you still have the other group members. And that kind of continuity is so healing for people. And the accountability, you don't want to let down your group. So you have a double motivation. You're going there because it's going to help you, but you also don't want to let down your community.
Welcome to the Reconnect and Awaken podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Murphy, and I'm so happy to have you here. Reconnect and Awaken is a podcast all about helping you navigate your soul journey, explore the unseen, and all things spiritual to connect deeply to yourself, your purpose, and your heart, all the while providing a little extra encouragement to live life as your most authentic self so you can share all of your amazing, unique gifts with the world. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I am so grateful to have you here. Be sure to subscribe to the show to be notified of new episodes as soon as they are released. You can also find me on Instagram where we can connect and talk more at sarah.murph. Now let's get started. Hello there. Welcome back to another week of Reconnect and Awaken. I'm so happy to be back with you all. I hope you are having an absolutely fabulous day. I am so excited for this week's episode. Natalie Vancier is back on the podcast. She was my very first guest on the show, but she is back on this week to talk about the power of community in our own journeys and our own personal growth, all of that goodness. And the reason I'm so excited about this episode is because right now I'm a member of Natalie's Soul Detective Group, which is an online community. We meet every Monday night. There's other nights available, but we meet every Monday night online and work through a different theme each month by tapping into our own divination abilities, by being guided through different meditations, journaling exercises. Natalie brings in different modalities, and it has been such a life-giving, enriching, amazing experience to be part of this community. Every time I leave one of those calls, I am just on fire. Like, I'm so excited. I'm up for hours because of the energy. And I've made so many incredible connections through that community to other women who are on their own personal development journeys, on their own soul journeys, growing into, yeah, the life that they want to live and connecting to themselves in these new ways that are really incredible. And it's been so amazing to be able to share this journey with others. And I had no idea the power of community. And that's why I was like, we need to dedicate an episode to this because it is so, so good. And I'm so enthusiastic about this. And it's perfect timing after the episode on integration last week that really talks about how when we go through these periods of growth, we then integrate it into our life. Community is such a big part of that. Finding your tribe and finding those people who can relate to what you're going through, but can also help encourage you and be mirrors for you sometimes when you need it. So I can't tell you how much, and Natalie's going to hear this, but Natalie, to you, I'm so grateful for this community that you've created, Soul Detective. It's so, so amazing to be a part of it. And I just have so much gratitude. And so in this episode, Natalie and I are going to talk about the power of community in your personal growth. We're going to talk about going from a one-to-one codependent to community-based healing. We're going to talk about different layers of confirmation and how those yeses or nudges show up for us in our lives in different ways. And we're also going to talk about the influence of community on our longevity and well-being. And at the very end, Natalie does me a huge favor and actually starts to talk about the power of community and moving from a codependent style as it applies to dating. And I love it so much. At the very end of this episode, I did include some clips from members of the community, the Soul Detective community, with their feedback and their experiences, because it's just such a great place to hang out and to be. If you are interested in connecting with Natalie, all of her details are in the show notes. You can reach her on Instagram at soul.detective, and you can find her website at tourdesoul.org. And that's where you can find out more about the Soul Detective community if you're interested in that as well. All right, let's get into it. I know you guys are going to love this episode. Oh, the power of being community. It's magic.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Reconnect and Awaken. And this week, we are so blessed to have Nat back with us. Welcome, Nat. How's it going?
Thank you so much. I'm so good. So happy to be here with you again.
Oh my gosh. I love having you here. You were the very first guest on this podcast, and we've been spending so much time together lately in your program, Soul Detective. And it got me so amped about the idea of community and how important it is in our soul journeys. And that's why I wanted to have you back on so we can dive into it.
Yeah, it's such a nice evolution to have started together kind of one-on-one, either working together or on the podcast. And now we're part of this community. And so we'll be able to really talk about it from the heart.
It's such a joy, honestly. I always love working with you from the North Node. And like you said, having you on the podcast on Rival and Queen first. And then, yeah, it's just, you're a recurring guest.
Thank you. I welcome it. And I'm very grateful.
I love that. So tell us a little bit, because I'm like so amped right now for everyone listening. You can probably hear me basically vibrating on the value of community right now and the richness I have found in the Soul Detective community that you created. Can you tell us a little bit about Soul Detective and the work that you're doing right now?
Absolutely. So I'm just in the process of rebranding slightly. My company was called Tour de Soul before, which was kind of a mysterious mixture of English and French. I was living in Montreal. It felt appropriate at the time. And then when I moved to Costa Rica, I started doing these classes here in Nosara called Soul Detective. And it was always what people remembered. They would be like, oh, she does Soul Detective. And I was like, well, that name really sticks. And so being someone that really takes signs seriously and is always paying attention to what's coming through, it felt like Soul Detective really wanted to take root. And I decided to go back to my roots and focus on online participation rather than doing as many in-person classes so I could reach a broader audience. And I was able to transition the beauty of that in-person group work into an online community membership. But also, it was a journey of me getting to the heart of what I think I uniquely have to offer. Like, what is it that's kind of this thread throughout my whole life about the way I see the world? And, you know, we just finished a month where we talked about niche and how that connects to purpose and authenticity. And so for me, choosing to focus on Soul Detective was about me clarifying my niche for myself. And I think what I'm fascinated by is how we can decipher clues and excavate. Like a researcher, that's also 1-3 in human design, is the investigator, martyr, like needs to try things for themselves, but also needs to deep dive and research. It's really about deciphering the clues that are coming from within you and from outside of you to make sense of the growth path that you're on. So the business essentially has two components. There's receiving from the outside, which is the divination process, which is connecting with spirit guides, you know, ancestors, angels, source, divine energy. What are those energies that are benevolent trying to tell you and teach you and show you in the lessons that you keep having to go through and these like deviations on our path? What are all those trying to teach us about our growth and who we're meant to become? And then on the other side, you have what I call self-healing tools, which is how can we create structures or practices or exercises or habits that help connect us to our own unconscious, strengthen our intuition and become a better reader of our own souls. So in a sense, you're doing the same thing. You're becoming an expert at your own soul and your path, but you're doing it through these different faculties of either like excavating inwards or making sense of the clues that are being mirrored back to you by life.
And it's such a powerful experience.
Yeah. I mean, it is empowering, I would say, because this kind of relates to what we're going to talk about today, but I want people to feel empowered in their healing journeys and feel like there's something they can be doing every moment, every day, being present, being tuned in to feel that sense of purpose and connection, direction and clarity. And I think that a lot of us, when we go towards healing and personal development, there's a certain amount of fear, insecurity, and doubt where we might go see like a tarot reader, or we might go see a psychic, or we might go see a therapist or an astrologer. And we're so much looking for answers. Like, you know, if you're going through a heartbreak or something, like notice how much you check out horoscopes and the transits and, you know, every little compatibility report and everything, because you start getting kind of grasping for answers outside of you. And while that's totally understandable, and I've gotten so much benefit from seeing practitioners, and I also think I give my clients quite a bit of benefit from one-on-one work, I really want people to feel some kind of autonomy that they're always in a self-healing process. They're always becoming more of who they are, and they know how to do that for themselves. They can resource themselves day in and day out and like live it at every moment. And so I'm always trying to guide people to those kind of tools and frameworks that make them feel always connected to their spiritual process.
I love that so much, because I think at the core of what I believe too is that ultimately, like, we are our own best guides. And there's so much value in getting help at different points, especially if you feel like disconnected or a little, like you said, maybe even just like like there's a lot happening, you're kind of reaching for that guidance again. But I think at the end of the day, like, it all comes back to us, our own inner wisdom. And I'm a big proponent for unlayering rather than adding more, like more tools, more processes, more people to the mix. And I think while they're great, you want to tap into outside guides and things more when you want them rather than when you're going to them for a fix. Like
desperation.
You're putting your power in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it can happen, because often it's in those moments where we're feeling the most disconnected that we seek help. But that's one of the things I love about your approach, is it really is our own connection.
Yeah. It's been empowering for me on a personal level too, to make that my focus, because a lot of times in my life I've had people come to me for advice, like friends and, you know, a lot of people. And I feel like I might just give them the right words to say, or I might like give them a piece of advice in that moment and maybe they'll take it, maybe they won't. But because they didn't really get there on their own, they might not totally embody the decision. So in Soul Detective, all of the workshops are basically self-led. Like, I'm giving prompts, I'm giving guided visualizations, I'm giving journal prompts, writing exercises, different kinds of tools of self-inquiry. So, you know, for example, I had a friend reach out. Well, actually, this happened several times, but I had a friend reach out, was like, I don't know what to do about this decision. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what I think you should do. Go do this class on communication. Go do this class on relationships. Go do this class on guilt. And it takes them 45 minutes. They sit down with the recording. It's like in my archive of past workshops. And at the end, almost always, they're like, I'm very clear. This is what I need to do. And I said, you still need advice? Like, no, I really feel good about having made this choice. And it feels healthier for me on an energetic level, because I'm not in this role of like pouring my energy into someone, which can relate back to codependency, which we'll talk about a bit today. But it's not just like me using my energy to enliven someone and give them the motivation, but it's actually showing them that there is a part of themselves that is clear, if they can, as you say, just like remove those layers of self-doubt and conditioning and insecurities, maybe disappointments from the past that are causing an interference from them being able to tune into their intuition.
Totally. And even in this last month, so I'm a part of the Soul Detective membership, and I'm hooked, as I told Natalie. But and I'm hooked. There's so many great parts of it, but I'm totally hooked because of the community. Mm-hmm. And for so long, I've been doing this work on my own kind of inner work. But now suddenly joining a community where there's other people on their own journeys and everyone just gets it. And you are a fabulous of tapping into our own wisdom. And even the clarity I got in the last month when we were working on niche, which just going into that, I've been struggling on my own a lot with how do I really clarify the work I want to do? And it's really great to have those topics and have you facilitate them and just to see the own clarity that we come up with independently. That sometimes as humans, you know, we're good, we're motivated, but sometimes we struggle to create the structure that we need mm-hmm. and to push ourselves to find the answers that we're looking for.
Yeah. And you know what I love about your story this month is like I had chills when you were talking because you also went to this Tony Robbins seminar like right before we started the last group coaching call yesterday and or whatever day it was 2 days ago. Anyway, and that is exactly the soul detective vision that I have. In other words, like you got answers from the prompts, you got clarity from community feedback, the other members, but you also were starting to have bridges open up to you from the outside world. And I think that that's truly what I believe, that whatever transformation is happening internally will start to be mirrored everywhere. And so at the end of the month, so many of you guys shared that you had these successful kind of transformations of clarity on this subject around career mm-hmm. and direction. But not everyone was like, oh, Natalie, it's because you told me this one thing and it worked. It was like this beautiful amalgamation of like, oh, that message that I got from you in the group readings from this other member, and she set that off. And oh, someone wrote me on my own time and gave me this lead for something. And then I felt drawn to the seminar, and then I redid the journal prompts and I had more clarity. And all of a sudden it's like this whole constellation of tools and influences that contribute to this really holistic realization. And that's so much more trustworthy too, because if I had just told you like, hey, mm-hmm. sorry, I think this is what you should do, that's just like one person's opinion. But when you start to see it mirrored, and it could be, you know, written with projections from that individual person, but when you start to see it mirrored in all these different facets, that's such a more holistic and reliable compass.
It becomes, yeah, no, it becomes this beautiful patchwork with your whole life is sort of intertwined, and it's wild, and it is very affirming.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I call that layers of confirmation. Like I have that in my purposeful program too, where it's like we look at purpose through different modalities every week. And the idea is that don't just take the word from it, from like the tarot. Don't just listen to the astrology. Don't just listen to the human design. Don't just listen to these different frameworks. Yeah. But if all of them sort of start to contribute to these overlaps of these recurring themes, and it just like keeps coming back, it keeps coming back, that's something you can kind of trust. Like that's this old thing I used to say. One time you hear something, it's an opinion. Second time you hear it, there's a pattern. And the third time it's a sign, you know, and that's, I love those layers of confirmation.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. The third time you hear something, you're like, okay, the universe is smacking me in the face right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yes. So I'm really excited. I mean, everyone was so happy when you arrived on the scene in the membership, and I genuinely feel that like I could hand over the mic to anybody in the community sometimes, where I'm just like, you know, I trust so much your sensibility. I trust so much your integrity. I trust so much your compassion and openness to be able to participate in guiding the other members. It's something I didn't really do at the beginning, but then I started to encourage more sharing because people were just getting so much out of each other's shares and the support that you all are offering each other. And you know, for me, that is the move from the codependent to the community-based model for healing, because I can feel the difference energetically. Like I love one-on-one work, and I grew up with divorced parents. So like I, one-on-one dynamics is kind of my sweet spot. But when I finish a day of one-on-one sessions, like I feel drained. And I, as much as I really love it and it's very fulfilling and I think it's necessary right. sometimes, it's the same thing if you get together with a girlfriend and you chat for like 7 hours and you're like, of course, you're going to feel a little bit tired after. Whereas when we get off of a group call with Soul Detective, it's the opposite. I'm like incredibly energized and inspired. And I feel like everyone it's like the flock of birds, you know, like if one of the birds kind of falls behind, like the flock makes sure that they carry that bird that's trailing behind. So it's not on one person to carry the flock. It's everyone's holding that space together.
Well, and you can feel that energy, like, and you know this, because I've told you, and thank you for moving the times a little earlier, because when I get off the group calls, I'm like buzzing for hours that I because the energy is so incredible. And like I said at the beginning of the call, it's just, for me, felt almost life-giving stepping into this community where you, one of the things that I find can be challenging when you're diving into this deep self-discovery is sometimes you have a really hard time articulating what's feeling off in your life or where something, whatever the challenges you might be moving through. And it's really nice to step into a space where you don't have to articulate that necessarily, yet everyone else who's there understands that you're there to grow more deeply, to connect to your gifts, and to step into what feels like a purpose-led life, what your soul calling is. And we understand the different tools. We're all on the same page. You don't have to explain yourself or the process that you're trying to move through. It just feels like a breath of fresh air. And it's such a supportive space. It's crazy. Like, the group chat through WhatsApp is amazing. And like, it's funny, you just form all these connections. Everyone's sending either like photos, encouragement, celebrating wins. It's amazing.
Yeah. What you've manifested, what job you left, you know, what pattern you've managed to shift. Another thing that I like about it is that because the topic changes every month, I'm such a firm believer in also the collective in terms of what comes up in self-healing for people. So in other words, like if I'm going through something in my life, I start to focus on a certain set of tools or a certain theme. And I really always trust that if it's something that I'm going through, that those people that are drawn into my orbit are going to benefit from it as well. So I always choose the topics based on something that feels really alive for me at the time. And so oftentimes, you know, people will see the topic and they'll be like, oh, maybe I didn't go into personal development work for this theme. Like, maybe I don't think I need work on this.
Yeah.
But so often that theme will come up, whether it's like habits or consumption or, you know, purpose or whatever, relationships. And I really do think that everything in our life is like in an ecosystem. So if you're, you know, having a struggle point in relationships and dating, there might be something that needs work in your habit structure and that you're not even aware there's a link there. Mm-hmm. Or there might be an issue in terms of like how you communicate, or there might be something from a family pattern that you picked up on. And so by going through these different topics, I think we also see how these things are all interrelated, and it's just a very kind of holistic perspective of a personal development, because there is a lot of pressure to specialize in our industry, like in the coaching industry, for example. And even though I'm talking about a niche and I'm so focused on that, I really think like you can't isolate these things. Like if someone is dealing with depression, how do you not look at diet? You know, if someone is feeling isolation, how do you not look at building friendships? And so the more we can bring all these topics into a constellation, it just feels very integrated.
Well, and I love that approach, and it comes so much like so naturally. I think your work comes, you're very good at it. I know it isn't all natural and you put a lot of time into it, but I do really think you have a gift, and you have a fantastic gift of integration. Mm-hmm. How are you finding, I know you mentioned this, that the one-on-one felt a little more draining, but how are you finding you personally growing and the business growing with this more community-based approach?
Well, from a business perspective, it's been a bit of a transition because I had to invest in that transition. Like I had to, you know, it's not overnight, right? So I stopped doing individual tarot readings and sessions, which, you know, you lose some sales from that, right? Like not everyone's ready to commit. And it's so interesting because I think that as I'm searching for a deeply committed partnership in my life, I started to apply the same things to my business. And I was like, you know what? I want people who can invest in themselves. And not a big price tag, because it's not the membership is like, I made it on purpose, by far the most accessible thing in my offerings. But it's that, and you can cancel anytime. That's so funny. But I think it still psychs people out that they're like, oh my God, I'm in a membership. it's going to go on month to month. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. And I, while I understand it and I respect it, I realize that I get the most satiation and meaning from people when I can see them travel an arc of transformation, like an alchemical transformation. And it's hard to do that in one session. It's like, if you ever, it's like working out, like you can have a really great workout, but if you don't do it 3 times a week over 6 months, you're not going to see a lot of results. I think it's a little bit like working on yourself, you know? And I want to work with people who are ready to commit to themselves, even if it's just like 45 minutes a week and just being accountable to that. So there was a bit of a transitional period where, you know, people are not used to that and they're used to coming to me for a certain thing. I want a reading on this or whatever, and I want it now. And that part took some courage, I think, to restructure things in that way. But it's, yeah, it's everything that I dreamed of, and it's everything I really believe in terms of working through deep kinks in our patterns, in our conditioning, in these loops that we find ourselves in. So the most obvious example is codependency and addiction, right? If you think about alcoholics or addicts or anyone, like any kind of addiction, any kind of compulsive or self-destructive behavior, I can't think of any severe alcoholic or addict, maybe like one or two, that successfully got sober, and not just like what they call the dry drunk, like not just abstaining from using, but also like continued their healing, had a joyful, prosperous, fulfilling life after. I do not know that many people who struggle with severe addiction that were able to successfully overcome that by themselves, by white knuckling it, or with a single therapist. You don't hear people saying like, oh, the alcoholic for 30 years, I got sober because I had a great shrink. Like, that just doesn't happen. So most people who successfully navigate that transition do so in community with support groups like AA or any of the number of support groups. And I experienced that. I had a brief period where I was exploring sobriety and I made use of one of these groups, and it was such an amazing experience. I was obsessed with it. And I wasn't the typical person there. I wasn't like a severe or dangerous addict, but I felt like this is so brilliant and special that everyone should have access to this. Not to mention that it's, you know, it's free in those cases. And I was thinking like this framework, like the 12-step framework would benefit every single human that I know. Why are these kind of environments reserved for these sort of extreme cases?
Hey guys, it's Sarah here. I hope you're loving this episode. If you are, I've got one simple ask. Could you take 15 seconds to leave a written review for the show on whatever platform you listen on? Your written review helps me to grow the show, and it helps other listeners to find it. So if you can write a review, I'd be super grateful. Thank you again for being part of the Reconnect and Awaken community. I love you guys so much. Now, let's get back to the good stuff.
And then I read this book called Woman Who Loved Too Much. I think Robin Norwood is the author. And she is an expert on codependence. So this book in particular is about codependent women who will often enter into a relationship with a man that has, or a partner, any partner who has some kind of unavailability, either because of an addiction or a behavioral issue, a mental health issue. And I related to a lot of the book. I've had similar patterns in the past, more in my earlier past, but still. And at the end, she gives you a prescription to follow to break these patterns. And one of them is group work, like a support group. And she's saying like, it's absolutely necessary that you find a community of like-minded people who have struggled with something similar, who can keep you accountable. And I think that one of the reasons is like, you know, I'm going off, I'm very passionate about this right now, but you know, I had these two therapists. I had a psychoanalyst that I saw weekly for a year or two. And I had a therapist I saw when I was younger. Both of them, the treatment suddenly stopped because of a health issue. My first therapist, like, he died on a treadmill. It was really sad. It was very sudden. He was a very healthy man. Second one had a stroke and had to discontinue his practice. And in both cases, I was sort of ready to transition out of the treatment, but I felt like, gosh, you know, transference on a therapist is already so powerful. And we're already treating our healers like they're kind of gods that are going to save us, right? Same way we might do like an ideal partner or something like that. We like put all of our eggs into one basket. Like, this person's going to be the one that saves me and fixes me. And what happens when they can't live up to that ideal? Because no one can live up to that ideal, really. And you're left feeling kind of stranded or abandoned, or you question the integrity of that process. Whereas a group like a 12-step program or any kind of support group around, you know, overeating or gambling or anything, you know, or someone who's had childhood abuse or anything like that, you have that kind of community. If one person drops out, you still have the other group members. Then you have a new person that comes, and then you can help mentor that person. And that kind of continuity is so healing for people, and the accountability. And also, like, you don't want to let down your group. So if you've committed to something and they're supporting you, if you don't show up that day, you're letting down the other people that you know are suffering something similar that you've gone through. And you have a double motivation. You're going there because it's going to help you, but you also don't want to let down your community. And I think that it's like a healthy form of peer pressure. It was my long-winded, excited rant about codependent versus community.
No, and it's good. But it's amazing also to hear just your own experience going from that one-to-one relationship into community, and like why you found that so important. Because I think that is, you're not alone in having that experience where your growth is tied to one other individual, which is a really hard, I'm not sure if the word's burden, but it's a lot to carry, and it's a lot to associate to someone else. And the power of community and why it is part of these programs, like you said, like AA and some of these really powerful things, you understand that it is such a cornerstone in your own growth and of every element in our life, but of how we relate and are able to take that power back. You're not just dependent on one person helping you.
100%. And it relates to health as well. Like the studies about longevity, when they study the different blue zones, and one of the pillars that all the blue zone communities have, where people live the longest, is they have strong community-based models. So like they really have people that they kind of see every day at their coffee shop. Maybe there's multi-generational families living in proximity. There's people they've known from childhood. And so they've shown that having community has the same determinant on your life expectancy as smoking. It's kind of like sitting and smoking are as dangerous as being isolated. And that's such a powerful realization, I think, for us to have. And even though I understand that online people are not, they think like, oh, maybe that's not real connecting. I have never had a session or a group call where I didn't feel really authentically connected to those people. I mean, I guess it depends on who is facilitating, but I feel that even in the online community, there's a real sense of camaraderie.
I had no idea about that, about the blue zones, that isolation is just as harmful as being sedentary, things like that. That's crazy. And I can attest to the community online is so powerful, even though it's not in person. I think, because I can understand why you would think that initially, but my own experience in self-development is that it's a solo journey, and I spent so much time on my own path on my own, and I needed some of that time alone. But there came a point where suddenly I was craving community, and to be able to tap into the richness of the community online is huge, because that's also the world we live in, right? Every person I've connected with through Soul Detective, we interact on Instagram, and I get to see now parts of their lives. And so many of my friends, like, that is how we interact now, and it still is a nourishing place to be able to pick up a phone and call someone if you know that they understand where you are and what you're thinking about, or can hold you accountable to the pieces that are important to you. That's hugely validating.
I totally agree. And I'm actually really happy you brought up the solo journey aspect of your growth path, because I think there are kind of phases of a healing cycle. And I think that initially, it starts off like, okay, maybe my peer group is not reflecting my values or where I want to be at. Like maybe like someone's like, okay, my friends are partying all the time and they don't care about their health, or maybe they're like really financially focused, or they just, you know, they're settled down a certain way. I can't relate. They're not asking the same questions as me. They don't want to have the same lifestyle as me. So a lot of times people will start off being kind of dissatisfied with what's happening around them and they decide they want to make changes. And then they'll move into a spiritual depth self-healing phase. But often that is one that involves isolation. And I do think that's a kind of a necessary like passage that you need to go through, because you start to say, okay, I'm willing to walk this alone. I'm doing these researches. I'm doing different trainings or therapies. I'm rewiring my nervous system and my habits day to day. But that phase in itself is limited, because first of all, we can feel like we're healed, you know, we're like, oh, I'm so at peace. Like everything's good now. I just need to stay away from people and all my triggers, and then I'll be fine. I'm enlightened. And then
when I control everything.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and then you realize, like, as soon as you go back out into the world and you leave the cave that the monk went up to meditate in, and you come back and you join the marketplace and the community, then the triggers start to come up, like your shadow starts to get awoken. You know, whatever happened in early childhood that's not resolved might start to pop back up. And to be honest, like, I think that is where the real healing work begins. I think that that isolation phase is necessary, but I think we can't get stuck there, because it can be comfortable and it can become a new stagnant place where we kind of shield ourselves from life. And I think it is necessary, because there you build the building blocks. Like you said, everyone in Soul Detective has like done some work on themselves, right? So they kind of, they come in with that sort of toolkit of being able to show up for themselves. That's really important. But then when you go back into the world and you're facing your vulnerability, then you have a structure that you can return to and say like, okay, I have, you know, this journaling practice, or I have this meditation, or I have this Soul Detective community, and I know where I can go to resource myself when I feel destabilized.
You can also talk through it with people, right? And it is so much part of the fun is going back out into the world. Like the episode last week was all on integration, but the part that I think is most important about integration is it's not like a one step check done. It is its own phase. Like you go out into the world, you feel like a bit overwhelmed, like, oh God, you're trying to show up in a new way and you fall back into old patterns or you feel anxious about things, or you're still finding your new community. And then you retreat a little bit, but you've built, you take baby steps and you keep putting yourself out there. And once you do find those people who are either who can support you on in the growth that you are experiencing, like we're in this particular context, we're talking about a lot of self-development, but this is true of any sort of goal that we have, whether it's financial, whether it's health related, or in friendship. But once you find those people who can help you, it's amazing. It's like you are leveled up.
Absolutely. I like that idea of leveling up. Ideally, the people around you are kind of pushing or encouraging you to expand and not to shrink. And I think that's another thing that's valuable about something like Soul Detective communities or other membership communities, is that, or support groups, is that maybe we don't need every one of our friends or our partners or our family members to meet all of our needs, right? Like we can appreciate people for different things that they bring us. But I know that for me, this personal development and spiritual path has been one that I don't really have that reflected in my friend group, not as much as I do in, let's say, like the Soul Detective community, where I feel that we're all kind of working through similar things, asking ourselves similar questions. And it's just so refreshing to not be like imposing those topics on other people, but be like, oh my God, we're all obsessed with this stuff. And yeah, it's really special to have that kind of like-minded peer mutual support and growth and expansion.
Yes. And it's also nice to see other people who look like you, because I'll say I don't have this a ton in my peer group, but I do have a lot of support. Like my sisters, I come from a family, not as much like yours. My family isn't healers, but they're very open-minded and introduced me to meditation and like the power of my mindset when I was super young. So that's always been a part of my life. And some of my friends are more on this journey with me, at least in the sense that they get it, and when they are going through challenges, they want to come and talk to me about it, and they know it's always like always eager like happy to be that person for them as they kind of go through their own personal growth. But but no one else in my life is, you know, as deep into this journey or into these pieces. And that is, it's so nice to have the peer group through Soul Detective. I wanted to tell you actually that through the group readings, which were the piece that got me hooked on the Soul Detective group, because I love the group reading experience where you help us connect to our own guides and we do intuitive readings for everyone else and we receive those back. It's always amazing what comes through. But that really got me back into connecting with my own guidance, my own intuition. And I've started practicing channeling, wow, which I'm having so much fun with and absolutely just loving. But it's opened that gateway for me. So I'm super grateful for it.
Wow, that is so cool. That's really great to hear. I spent most of this journey with working with divination, working with guides, kind of reading for myself like that, like working with guides in the morning and channeling messages for myself and speaking to them throughout the day. And I still do it. In my experience, it's so incredibly difficult to be objective when it comes to yourself. So when I'm giving a tarot reading to someone else or like a self-healing consult, I'm like, yeah, it's so obvious. Like, this is clearly the fruitful path for you. Whereas for me, I can go back and forth and like sort of debate myself. And I think that what was such a powerful discovery with these group readings is that I've seen professional psychics several times, and the messages that I get from people participating in these classes, from people that have no experience channeling, that it's like their first time ever connecting to their spirit guides, they've been more precise and accurate than any message I've gotten from very reputable astrologers or psychics. And this is like, people laugh when they hear this because it's a little unconventional, but I get people to read for me in my classes, even though they're paying to be there and it's a little bit unconventional, but I'm pretty unapologetic about it. So basically, yeah, at the end of every group reading class.
I love it.
it's, you know, it's audacious, but I mean, it's, people are still practicing their tools and I share a lot about how those messages materialize, but I have an archive of all the messages I've received, and that's become my most reliable divination tool. Like right now I'm making a decision about this house that I want, or I'm thinking, trying to make a decision if I should take it. And I'm going back to the messages we did that I received in group readings last month. And I'm helping that inform my decision. There was like, actually you were the one who said, oh, I see kind of dark wood. It's like a veranda. And there's these white sheets, like linen curtains that are kind of hanging, but they're outside. And not only were those images on my Pinterest board that we made for the month, but they were brought back to my attention when I went to go visit this place. And there was this like outdoor gazebo space, which was on my manifestation list. And I was thinking, like, how do I brighten up the space? And I thought about painting it white. And she's like, no, I like the dark natural wood. And I was like, oh, I could put white curtains that are like billowing on the windows and they'll be outside, and they'll be flowing. And then I went back to the messages and you were like, veranda, white curtains, outside, dark wood. And I was like, oh my God, there it is.
That's so funny. I love that so much.
Me too.
Well, and it's like, for me, it's been a big confidence experience of like, oh damn, these things resonate. And it's cool because so many unconnected people are doing your readings and similar things come up. Like in the last one, I think like three people told me they saw me on a stage, they saw me dancing, they see me speaking. And I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. Like, and it's all true to my soul. It's all true to the direction that I'm going in.
Well, yeah. I mean, the way that it works is everyone's writing down their messages for the person at the same time. And they're connecting. Let's say we're reading for you. We're all connecting to your spirit guides, but we're all writing down our messages separately. And then we give them at the end. So there's no, people don't know what everyone else is writing. And that is such a common occurrence that the same themes or messages or words will come through again and again. That's why I keep a running document with all the messages, because I've had like, I don't know, 15 messages telling me my throat chakra is blocked. I've had people bring up the color orange like 30 different times in different contexts. I've had such specific, last time you said it, like three people said it just in the last time we did it. So it's really, again, it's the layers of confirmation.
Oh, it's so cool. And I am so grateful to you and your wisdom that has brought you to creating this community, because I can't express like words cannot express the power that I've found in it mm-hmm. and just how amazing it is as a resource, not only from the piece that it's, you know, it's not just a one-off thing. It's like we show up week after week, but it's become one of the highlights of my week because it helped me realize how much I was craving community. Mm-hmm. Like I was craving this so much and it's so rewarding and it's nice to, I'm showing up not only for me, but for everyone else there because I want to see how everyone else is doing. And I want to check in with Kristen. I want to hear how Jamie's doing. And it's just a really beautiful, yeah, it's, I was blown away by the value it's brought into my life. Oh,
so touched. I'm really, really touched to hear that. And I actually, you just brought up something I haven't really thought of before, which is like, you know, one of the reasons that friendships are so beautiful is that kind of exchange, right? The sort of a mutuality to it. And I think that that's something that I think is the reason why these support groups are effective, or 12 steps where they have sponsorship and everything, is that not only are you receiving a benefit, but you are providing an act of service. And I think that in itself is very healing. And in a way that working on yourself forever is not necessarily, you know, like sometimes that healing or personal development journey can slip into self-optimization where people are just sort of like greedily trying to get better and faster and stronger and richer. And that what you just expressed about how you're also showing up for the other members and like you want to see them flourish, like I think that is healing on a sort of cellular, animal, primal level in a way that just sort of focusing on bettering ourselves can never be, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's just, it's such a rich experience. And that's the only way I can describe it. An enriching experience, I guess. And yeah. And I'm so happy to hear just through this conversation how much it's given you as well. And even that it's allowed you to feel more empowered in the work that you do. I see that from the outside. Aww.
Yeah, thank you. Like I really do feel that there is something to that for me. Like I said, being an only child and being a child actor, and just a lot of my life I've been an enlivener for people. And I maybe out of that, maybe there's a loneliness in that. And I think that so as a counter muscle, I've always been obsessed with bringing people together, connecting people, because I think that what my soul craves is like that big family, that big boisterous family where, you know, we all come together and the doors open. And I've always been trying to recreate that. And I've always had these like separate friendships, these people that I'm very close to that don't spend time with each other. And everyone who's friends with me knows that I'm always like obsessively trying to bring people together. Like I match make friends all the time. And I'm good at doing that for other people's businesses. I'm always like, you should meet this person, you should meet that person. And so for me, this yeah. community feels like a time where I've really done that successfully. Like I think everyone there kind of reflects back my essence. Like I think that's why everyone gets along so well. It's like, if you're drawn to working with me, you're probably going to like each other too. And that's really happened. So it's, yeah, it's extremely satisfying for my soul to experience.
Oh, I love that so much.
Me too. So thank you for making that possible.
No. Yeah. Well, thank you for letting me be a part of it. It's something that's, yeah, so, so incredibly valuable. And this is why I wanted to make this episode, because I think for anyone listening that's in their own journey, like there's so much value in finding community and finding others that you can connect with, whether it is through coming to this podcast and listening and knowing that there's other people listening, or finding your tribe through things like Soul Detective, or whether it's connecting with people online. It's just, it's such a worthwhile experience, even if it takes a while to find it.
Man, there are groups for everything under the sun, you know, like you could probably, like if you're like an accountant who's like tired of their softwares, or you're bored in an office, you could probably find, you know, a support or like an online community for accountants who are bored in their office and like get together and discuss innovations in accounting. Like I really think that if you do your research, you can probably find a like-minded community on just about anything.
I really hope that group is called Accountants Gone Wild. I would like to see them.
If it doesn't exist, whoever's listening and relates, create it. Create your own hub. Oh my God.
Oh, I love this so much. Natalie, thank you for coming on this episode and sharing again. Is there anything that you would like to share before we clue up?
Well, just like something kind of funny that comes to mind is I think that everything we've talked about is also useful for someone who's dating.
Please give me the dating advice right now. It's becoming more important for me. So make sure.
Okay. So I think that, you know, in terms of that codependent to community base, that whole vision, I think that women have a tendency, especially, but it can happen with men as well, where, as my friend Ashley put it, they're a little bit quick to pin the tail on the donkey, right? They're like, oh, this person seems great. They're a lot of my list. You know, we got along so well. Like, now I can't imagine my life without them. And they kind of zero in and maybe like I start to obsess over that person. And then it can feel really crushing if it doesn't pan out as it originally seemed like it could. And
I'm like, if you could see me, like my face right now, I'm like, oh yeah.
I've been there too. And so, you know, I was a serial monogamist for my whole adult life. Like, I would meet someone and I always joke I never had a one night stand because I would always spend 3 years with them after. Like, so I'd meet someone, I'd connect, and then like meet in, you know, a week or two, I met their parents. I'm like practically living with them. And often there's things that are maybe not quite right. And at the end of the relationship, you're like, oh yeah, well, those things, I kind of like just bulldozed past them because I got so attached so quickly. And so I think that for one is that when you're navigating any difficult transition, if it's like a breakup or anything, a change of job or a loss of a person in your life, some kind of grief, the community consistency that it provides is so supportive. Like, it's the difference between falling to rock bottom and being able to get back on your feet. Just reconnecting to the people that know you, that respect you, that cherish you as you are, it really helps you find yourself in those moments of transition. And then in terms of the codependent, you know, dating tendencies, I think that what Lacey Phillips from To Be Magnetic recommends is, especially for a woman, is she's like, date multiple people until you find the person that's ready to commit to you and wants to invest in a relationship. And she also encourages people not to explore sexual intimacy too quickly, because that also increases attachment. It sometimes creates a sense of familiarity that you might not get if you weren't rushing that timeline. And so I find, like, I'm such a naturally loyal person. I like to go deep. So like, as soon as I like someone, I'm like, okay, I'm off the market. Like, I'm just going to like pour my energy into this person and this relationship, even before I know that it's workable or has that long-term potential or that the person even wants the same thing. So I think it's just sort of to counter that a little bit and say like, okay, I'm looking for an apartment. I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for a partner. Maybe I found something good, but instead of getting caught in scarcity and being like so afraid to lose it that you just block out everything else, maybe challenge yourself to be like, no, I'm going to continue to go on other dates. I'm going to continue to explore different people. I'm going to continue to look at other apartments, other jobs, and actually realize that there's so much out there that, and each thing offers us something unique. And if we're too quick to like make someone the one and only, like that has to be the thing or else it's not, like, my life is going to be empty, then we're putting them in that place that's kind of impossible for them to uphold in the end. And there could be so many other things that, you know, bring out other sides of you. And I think that, like, you know, just kind of keeping that heterogeneity in your life until you're really ready, until there's a mutual kind of commitment or it's really a match, is probably a healthier approach.
I agree with so much of that. And I think also when you're seeing multiple people, it really helps you to notice the things that you value most and like actually the qualities that are most important to you. And it just helps you keep a level head. In love, we get swept up so quickly because we want to be in love and we want to be in partnership, and it's so natural. And I think one of the things that changed for me too is like definitely pulled back from casual intimacy. And because that's not what I want. And I want to be able to go into a relationship with intention. And I want to know that that's someone that I actually want to develop feelings for, rather than just, letting that cloud my vision. But this is also why I'm so excited for the conscious communication topic this month. Because I'm like, I struggle with expressing what I want or what I need, or when things feel really important to me, I have a really hard time voicing that. And so I'm really excited for this next focus of Soul Detective. I think it's going to help with my
dating. You're getting right to the heart of the matter. Definitely. That's exactly what we're going to be dealing with. Cause it's like, as soon as you start to get attached, you're like, you throw your preferences overboard. You're like, well, I wanted this, I needed this, I'm feeling this, but I can put that aside because I don't want to lose this. And so we're going to be learning how to stay open while also not getting lost in the other person and remaining clear and trusting ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm so in need of this lesson. So anyways, I'm looking forward to this month's focus, and I'm looking forward to how it's going to influence my dating life.
We come to the right place.
I love it so much. Nat, where can people find you online and connect with you?
Okay, so on Instagram, I'm at soul.detective. That's my new name there, but my website is still tourdesoul.org. And, you know, eventually I'll be transitioning things over to Soul Detective, but for now, those are the two best places to find me. And I hope to see you in our community or a welcome tour if you want more one-on-one work to get started. But if you just want to say hi, also, I welcome that.
Yeah. And one of the great things about your Instagram is you're so true. Share so much about your own journey. It's just like a great place to be. If you don't follow Nat already, you have to.
I know. I get nervous. Like one of our members, Kristen, was like, I just channeled a message for you that you need to be transparent. She's like, but you're the most transparent person I've ever met. I don't understand how you can be more transparent. I was like, oh God, is that the reputation I have? But it is true. I like to keep it real.
Oh, but I think it's good. It's refreshing. Thank you. I'm so grateful. And thank you for coming on the
show
today.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so grateful. You're in my world.
Me too.
Before this episode ends off, I just want to share a couple of love notes from some of the other Soul Detective community members. Here's one from Kristen. The Soul Detective community model to self-healing has provided me with the support, guidance, connection, and validation I've needed outside of my already existing relationships. It's beautiful to build a stronger relationship with self and to become more refined in your life desires, all while sharing that space with others who are doing the same. There's something magical when you see others flourish and grow. You're, of course, so happy for them, and that momentum is just contagious, and their journey is so inspiring for your own healing and change. I've found that when there is more consistency within the group in showing up and doing the work collectively, that I've been able to be more consistent in showing up for myself. Lately, I've had some major shifts in my limiting beliefs surrounding home and career. I've noticed the work working far beyond group sessions. That's a note from Kristen. And here's one from Melanie to finish off this episode.
Hi, it's Melanie. I've seen so much growth in Soul Detective in myself and others. There's just something about being in community like this that's pure expansion. It's expansion of your point of view, of your mind for sure. And best of all, probably of your heart that comes when you hear other people's stories who are vulnerable and authentic and open. It's just contagious. Natalie does an expert job at being our guide in this way too. She just has kind of a superpower in this way. In the group, it's definitely an energetic that's irrefutable and a bit transcendent. Because when other people open their hearts to share, I open my own, and it's actually there that I learn more about myself. It's magic, and I love it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Reconnect and Awaken. I hope you found a little something to support you on your own soul journey. If you haven't already, be sure to hit subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would love to know in a review or for you to share it with someone in your life who you think might get value from it too. Your feedback and sharing really helps me grow, especially in the beginning. If you want to dive deeper into any of the topics discussed, I share a lot on my Instagram at sarah.murph, sarah.murph. And I always love to hear about your own journey, what you're growing through, and if anything shared here today resonated for you. Thank you again so much for listening. I love you, and I will see you soon.